We're going to be in the Gospel of John today. I'm excited about sharing God's Word. I always love the opportunity to preach. We're going to be in the 21st chapter. Brother Paul is away for the weekend. Him and Miss Marianne went to go see some leaves change. That's Brother Paul's favorite thing. Be with his wife, I mean. So, nothing to do with the leaves changing, but it's a good day to be in the house of the Lord, right? Amen. 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 John chapter 21 says this, "And after these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way: Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I'm going fishing.' They said to him, 'We'll come also with you.' They went out and got in the boat that they might, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, 'Children, you do not have any fish, do you?' They answered him, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch.' So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' So when Simon Peter heard it, that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So they got out on the land. They saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you have now caught.' Simon Peter went up, drew the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, 'Come and have breakfast.' None of the disciples ventured to question him, 'Who are you?' knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This was now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead." Let's pray. Father God, help us to understand this scripture. God, as we lean into this passage and dissect it, may it not be my words that these people hear, but yours. Remove me from this message. Let every word that come out of my mouth be yours and not what I desire. God, you know every individual in this place. You know what they carried into here. You know what they need. So God, allow the Holy Spirit just to move among us, to transform us more into your image through the preaching of your word, through the submitting to the Holy Spirit's conviction in our life. And may everything that's done and said here today glorify you. In name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, I'm going to try this. I hate glasses. I hate that I need glasses. It happens. It's called birthdays. This is the third time that Jesus is appearing. Third time that these 11 people that had spent time with Jesus for 3 years, that he's appeared to them. It's post-resurrection. Not counting the two that he appeared to the road to Emmaus, and there's some debate on whether it's any of the 12. I don't think it is, but that neither here nor there. I think it's two disciples that were going there, and Jesus appeared to them. They came back to tell about Jesus. So the first is resurrection day in the upper room, and Thomas is not there. Remember Thomas' response is, "But if I've got to see him with my own eyes. I got to put my hand, my finger in his hand and in his side." And then a week later, Jesus shows up and Thomas is there. And then here, this third time, we don't know when it happened, sometime later, and perhaps it's response to the angel's message to the Marys that said, "Hey, go wait in Galilee. I'm going to meet you there." And disciples go to Galilee, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and know Jesus. You ever been there? Are you there right now? You're waiting for something, but there is no answer. You're waiting for something, but it's not been done in your time. Why is waiting so hard? Here we find seven of the disciples gathered together in this little group. We don't know where the other four are. It's never said in Scripture. Probably gathered in another group because, again, they're scared. Their leader's been killed. There's an active pursuit against them. But they're waiting. It's hard to wait for Jesus to do something. Especially when it doesn't seem like he's doing anything. Have you ever prayed for a loved one to get saved and it hasn't happened? My mom died praying for my brothers to be active in their faith and have a relationship with Christ. So I have a twin brother, if you don't know. He doesn't look like me. He's 6 foot. It's not right. I've questioned God about that all my life. But when my mom got sick and we went to the hospital with her, I thought she had a stroke, ended up she had a brain tumor. My twin brother says this to me. He goes, "Tim, I'm just going to tell you, Mom told me if there's ever a time when you have to make medical decisions about me, I want Tim to make it because he's closer to God." Thanks, Mom. Thanks for not telling me. But she died praying for my brothers. Have you ever prayed and prayed and prayed and salvation that just doesn't, you don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know what's going on. I've got journals of my mom praying for me before I came to know Christ and after I came to know Christ and when I went into the ministry and all of that. I've got journals and journals of her just praying for her family. Have you ever prayed for a job and you're still unemployed? Have you ever prayed for a situation to improve and it doesn't get any better? In those times, we might ask, "Where's Jesus?" Because he's not here. And I think that's what they're saying here. I think that's what the disciples are saying. Hey, we've done what we're supposed to do. We're here. In verse 3, it says, Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." I don't know about you, I'm going to go fishing. That's just like Simon, ain't it? And they said to him, "We'll also go with you." They went out, they got in the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Peter's like a lot of us. We just don't sit well doing nothing. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." It's probably not the best translation. The best translation from the original Hebrew language would be, "Cease striving and know that I am God." Quit trying to do, just be. But that's hard. We all know people, or maybe we are people that, you know, we just can't do nothing. We have to do something. I'm the world's worst. When Brother Todd got here 8 years ago, he came to my office. He said, "Brother Tim, can I tell you one thing?" He goes, "You absolutely stink at vacations." And I do. I have a hard time with vacations. I have a hard time with not having a plan. I have a hard time with, I got to go and I got to do and I got time. I got to go get it done and whatever. And that's Peter. He's got to be doing something. And what is he decides to go fishing. Now, we don't know why he decides to go fishing. I think there's three options that may be it. And we're going to look at those today. And so as we go into this, you know, I just want to challenge you. We're going to jump around a little bit, not too much, but a little bit. The first thing I think, maybe Peter wanted to go back to the beginning, back to where it all started at. He was there, But you remember back in Mark chapter 1, it says in verse 16, he says, "And he was going along by the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.'" Maybe Peter wanted to go back to the beginning. Maybe he wanted to go back to where he first met Jesus, to where he first submitted to Christ in his life. Where did you meet Jesus? What's your story? For some of us, it was a Sunday morning worship service. For some of us, maybe it's during a Bible study or talking with a friend or VBS. Or for me, it was a revival service, and I was sitting on the back, left side, back here, third row from the back, and I was gripping the pew in front of me, white-knuckling it, because Jesus was talking to me, and I was saying, "But God, I'm doing all these things for you." And he goes like, "Yeah, but you're not mine." Maybe it's through a counseling. Maybe it's going through a tough time. Where did you meet Jesus? Wherever it was, sometimes we need to go back to that experience and get our salvation experience refreshed. Just remember, because you know, a lot of us, when we know Christ, we come to know Christ, man, we're excited. Man, we're on fire. I remember going to work the next day. I was working at Sonny's on Highway 200, and I had this opening guy who was a maintenance guy, and I can't remember his name, but I said, "Hey, guess what happened last night?" This is Friday morning, because I got saved on a Thursday night. He goes, "What?" I said, "Man, I got saved last night." He goes, "Dude, you're already saved." I thought so too, but I wasn't. I couldn't wait to tell people. What about you? Do we need to go back and get, you know, do we need to evaluate and say, was it real? Did it happen? If it was, maybe we need to refocus. Maybe refocus on the beginning of our walk with Christ. Maybe we need to reconfirm that our assurance in salvation. Maybe we need to recommit to living a real relationship with Jesus. Maybe that's what Peter was doing. We don't know. It doesn't ever tell us. Maybe he's just wanting to get off by himself and refocus on what Jesus wanted to do in his life. Maybe he just wanted to go fishing because he wanted something to do. Second thing I think could be an option, maybe Peter wanted to quit. Maybe he wanted to go back fishing. Maybe he just wanted to quit. Things hadn't worked out the way that he had planned it all out. Jesus had risen from the dead, that's true. Peter had seen him. Corinthians tells us that Jesus had an intimate one-on-one conversation with Peter. That's got to be pretty shocking. He knew he had risen from the dead, but Rome was still in power. Tiberius was still the emperor. Pilate was still the governor. The Sadducees and the Pharisees were still corrupt and in control. What difference had the resurrection of Christ made? I don't see it. I don't see any difference. I'm going to go back fishing. At least in the fishing business, I have some control. I have some expertise. I have some past success. Peter's whole world had fallen apart. And even the resurrected Jesus had not corrected all the wrongs to make them right in Peter's mind. What about in you? Has your world fallen apart? Do you feel this way? Have you ever asked the question, what difference has Jesus really made in my life? Am I really better off because I'm following Christ? Have you ever wanted to quit? It's too hard. You're asking too much, God. My life is not easy. Where does it say that? It's a false doctrine. It's false teaching. Your life will never be easy with Christ. In fact, I would say it'll be more difficult if you're going to live the way Christ wants you to live. It'll be more challenging. I'm sure all of us have had doubts as we've journeyed down this road, but you can't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop striving. There's no such thing as resigning as a Christian or returning your church membership for a refund. You can't do it. Don't try. You can't go back to the way you were before if you're truly a believer. Now, you may have experienced something, but you didn't give up anything. You want that fire insurance to get out of hell, but you don't want that lordship to give up control of your life. There's two different things. Some of us say, hey, God, I want to be in heaven with you, but I want to control my life here. It don't work that way. It doesn't work. Believe me, I tried. Jesus never promises that he would give you a smooth life, an easy life, just a safe landing. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I will bring you home. He never promises you smooth sailing in your life, but just a safe harbor. I'll protect you. In the darkest moments, I'll hold you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you're truly born again as a believer, you just can't quit. In the first place, if you're truly a born-again believer, you won't want to. You won't want to quit. In the second place, you don't need to. Maybe Peter just wanted to go back to this less complicated life of fishing like he was doing before he met Jesus. But he wouldn't have been happy. Just like you won't be happy. I won't be happy. And sometimes, as a man before Christ, it was so much easier. My life before Christ was easy on Sundays. I worked at a restaurant called Sonny's, and I made my own schedule. Perfect. Get there at 7:30, work till about 2, get through the lunch rush, leave, go to the golf course. Golf till dark. While my wife is at getting kids ready to church, getting them to church, coming home from church, having dinner, getting them back to church Sunday night, I'm just swinging away, living my best life. And then when I came to know Christ, Sundays became my hardest day. Because I was involved in church. We had two services. So I'm there at 8 o'clock, and I'm running the sound. And then I cut out of the invitation so we could go run the bus ministry that we had, bringing in kids. And then I'm teaching Sunday school, and then I'm running sound for the second service. And then I'm cutting out of there during invitation to go drive 30 minutes to go to work and work through lunch. If I had to work all day, then I'm going from 12 to close. If I'm working through lunch, guess what? I'm going back to church at 5 o'clock for a meeting or for a teaching or for Sunday night service. Became one of my toughest days. Sometimes we want to go back to life before. We call that backsliding. We backslide. Can I just tell you, you got to upslide before you can backslide. So let's make sure there's been an upslide, right? But when we backslide, you know, we're going back to this old life, and it's a life of avoiding church attendance. And y'all are here, so you're not doing that. Life of avoiding Bible reading, prayer time, quiet time with God. But you'll never be happy. You won't have that peace. Because once you've experienced this resurrected Jesus, nothing can fill the void in your life when you leave Jesus out of your life. You're miserable, frustrated, defeated, lonely, angry. You'll never be satisfied until you get back into fellowship with Jesus. Maybe Peter wanted out, but Jesus won't let him, just like Jesus won't let you. The third thing, is we get to go with him. We get to go with him. You know where Jesus met Peter? It's on the shore. We've had the privilege of going to Israel a couple times and being in this area where they think this took place. It's a northwest part of the Sea of Galilee. And early in the morning, one of the best places to be, in my opinion, of hearing the waves lap. And you think about Jesus on the banks with some coals. and some fish. Where did he get the fish from? He just manifested them. Isn't that crazy? It's a whole nother sermon. Maybe that's what Jesus wanted them to do all along. Go with him. Jesus didn't want them to just sit around and do nothing until he came. Same thing holds true for us. You know what 1 Thessalonians says? It tells us what we're supposed to be doing. If I can get to it. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. That's what we should be doing as we wait for Christ to take us home. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 14 through 22, if you need to write it down. He does not want us to sit around and wait for his return. He does not need any more pew sitters. The disciples could have just sat around, but they wanted to stay busy. And here was the Sea of Galilee. They had some time on their hands. There was a boat nearby, and they knew how to fish. Logical conclusion? Let's go fishing. At least Jesus comes and finds us. We'll be busy. But what happened when they went fishing? What happens when I go fishing? Nothing. They caught nothing. I can identify with that. First of all, I hate to fish. I like to catch, but I don't like anything else involved with fishing. Put me on a spot, I'll reel them in, I'm good. That's it. My wife loves to fish. Anybody loves to fish? Help me out, and we'll take her fishing. That's usually me when I go fishing. I don't catch very much. I have never learned. I can't catch fish. I don't know how to set a hook. I know the mechanics of it. You feel the bite, you're like, oh, nope, I missed that one. Brother Paul and I went to a mission trip in Mexico when I first got here, and it was a fishing mission trip. So we fished. I mean, this like lake was like a 100,000 acre lake, which is a big lake. I get it. But he said, hey, I've got all the supplies. Don't worry about bringing anything. Trust him at his word, which was great the first time we went fishing. And then the guy who's leading it says, hey, partner up with somebody else. We're going to get to know each other. Well, all my gear is on that boat, and I'm on this boat. I don't even have a fishing pole. Like, I got a pole. I ain't got nothing to go with it. He goes, where's your gear? On that boat. What do you mean? I don't fish. He told me he'd bring me everything. So for the next 3 hours, I'm just throwing out a line with a little worm on it. I don't know what I'm doing. He's like, what do you got on there? He goes, oh, you don't use that while you fish out here? I don't know. That's what we use there, and we got some nibbles. But it's a different part of the lake. I don't know how to fish. I've gone out with people before, and they're like, man, you bad luck. We used to catch fish all the time here. I know. They didn't catch any fish all night long. They're fishermen. It's what they've been doing is fishing. Maybe that's what God's will for them, and I believe that's what it was. And sometimes I believe it's God's will for me, because if I get so good at fishing, it would distract me from other things. Probably not, but that's in my mind. I think that way. Jesus didn't want him to catch fish yet, right? Because we know the rest of the story, right? He had a lesson to keep teach them, all right? I'm still waiting on a lesson for him to teach me about fishing. All right, so in verse 4 and 5, it says, but that day was breaking, so they'd fished all night, because they fished at night back then, all right? And the reason they fished at night was because the cool waters, the waters would cool down, and the fish would come to the close to the side, and they're fishing in a boat with a net, and when it got too deep, they couldn't fish with a net, so they fish at night, and the fish would come to the coolness near the shore, okay? So, verse 4, when day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples didn't know it was Jesus. So Jesus said, "Children, you do not have fish, do you?" They answered him, "No." Couple thoughts. Why does he call them children? "Hey, kids, you caught any fish?" I think that's how Jesus is saying. You ever been fishing? "Hey, did you catch anything?" "No." Or, "Yeah, maybe." I say no all the time. They didn't recognize Jesus. They're about 100 yards out, about 300 feet out, and they didn't recognize him. Maybe it's the fog, or maybe it's the distance. "Hey, children, did you catch anything?" "No, we didn't." They're tired. They're frustrated. They're discouraged. They're irritable. They're hungry. They've been fishing all night. I think Jesus is saying, "Hey, is what you're doing working? How's it going? How's your efforts? Is it what you expected?" And I think the same thing for us. Is what we're doing working? Is the Christian life you're trying to live, is it working for you? If not, maybe you need to reevaluate it. When I was sitting in that revival service, Holy Spirit was talking to my life, and he was saying, "When are you going to stop trying and start trusting?" And I had all the answers. "But God, I'm teaching Sunday school. When are you going to stop trying and start trusting?" "But God, I'm working in the sound booth. But God, I'm running a van for bringing kids in. But God, I'm teaching on Wednesday nights. But God, I'm serving here. But God, I'm doing it. Is it working? If not, maybe it's time to reevaluate. If you're frustrated, discouraged, spiritually starving, if you lack peace, joy, hope, you might need to be open to some suggestions from Jesus, like the disciples. He said to them in verse 6, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll find a catch." So they cast, and they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. They didn't know it was Jesus. They hadn't recognized him yet. They just see a guy, "Hey, did you catch anything?" "No, we haven't." "Hey, throw it on the other side of the boat. You'll catch something." "Okay." And they're overwhelmed with the number of fish. They obeyed. Their nets are overflowing. They were successful. They were desperate and willing to try anything, to listen to any advice. If your Christianity hasn't been working for you, you've tried it your way, but you keep coming up empty, are you desperate enough to try something else? It didn't make sense to them. Try the other side of the boat. What they got to lose? The other side of the boat would have been the deep end, the deep waters. It's not normally where they fished. When your life falls down around you, when your troubles sweep over you like the waves of ocean, of the sea, when you've tried everything and nothing seems to work, do it His way. Submit to Christ. What is Jesus' way? Obedience. One word, but a lifetime to fulfill. Just do it His way. Repent of any sin in your life. Pray. Trust Jesus. Lean on Him. Surrender your life to Him. It doesn't matter if you fully understand it or not. Guess what? I still don't understand it fully. I don't get some things. And I've been doing this for, almost 40 years. Just do what you know He wants you to do. And you'll find out that Jesus knows what He's doing. and he will abundantly bless you here and in earth if you just obey him. I'm not talking about financial blessings. Do you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control? He'll give you the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, you don't know me, Brother Tim. That's the way God. No, that may be the way you've been made, but that's not where you stay. Because you don't get to pick and choose the fruit of the Spirit. Some people like to. I like to. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, he always calls himself that in this book, said to Peter, it's the Lord. It's him. And Peter, being Peter, says, I'm going to Jesus. And he jumps out and he starts doggy paddling, right? He's swimming to the shore. John's the first one that recognizes him. Peter, here, he can't wait for the boat to get to the shore. He just goes. I don't want to stand before Christ ashamed. I don't want to stand before Christ. I want to stand before Christ when he comes dressed in his righteousness. Verse 8 says, the other disciples came in a little boat, for they had not were not far from land, about 100 yards, dragging a net full of fish. Peter's going ahead. He's swimming. And Jesus is on the shore. In verse 9, we see him on the shore with fish already on coals, exact coals. Where'd the coals? Man, he just manifested them. That's crazy. There's a charcoal fire already laid out, and fish placed on it, and bread. What do you think Peter thought about when he sees this picture? Have you ever thought about this? When's the last time he saw coals, charcoal coals? He was outside when Jesus was arrested, and he was denying Christ around a charcoal fire. Only two times in Scripture is mentioned charcoal fire. It's here and it's there. I think it's an instant reminder to Peter, the last time I was with Jesus and there was a fire, I denied him. And when I denied him the third time, that rooster crowed and he locked eyes on me and I went outside and I wept bitterly. Look it up. And here again is another charcoal fire and Jesus is saying, hey, come eat. Hey, come eat. Hey, Peter, do you love me? Hey, Peter, do you love me? Hey, Peter, do you love me? I think this picture of them having a heavy net, heavy burden, some net, he wants you to give your burdens to him. Some of us walked in here with heavy burdens. Our nets are full. He wants to exchange it for a lighter one. In Matthew, very familiar passage. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you need rest today? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If your yoke is not easy, you may have yoked to something else other than Jesus. Maybe it's performance. I'm going, I'm doing. I'm reading God's word every day. I'm checking off the list. I'm doing this, but I don't have peace. Maybe God wants you to lay something down in your life. When you give Jesus your heavy burden, he doesn't take it away. He exchanges it for his yoke. He exchanges it for a lighter burden, one that's easier to bear. You just have to give it to him. And then look what he says in 21. In 12, I'm sorry. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples ventured. Who are you? They knew who it was. I think more than anything else in our life, Jesus wants us to have fellowship with him. He wants you to fellowship with him. Have you been missing out eating at Jesus' table? Are you tired? Are you hungry? Are you lonely? Are you defeated? Jesus says, come and dine. Don't miss out on God's best for your life. Jesus knows where the blessings are. You just got to cast your net on the right side of the boat, in the side of obedience, of faith, and of trust. Don't hide and run from Jesus. Don't just do nothing. You know the saying, you got to fish or cut bait? If you want the peace and the joy of Jesus in your life, he's on the shore waiting for you to jump in and have fellowship with. So today, the question is, do you know Jesus? Do you have this relationship with him? It's either yes or no. If it's I think, let's talk. Let's talk. It's a yes or no answer. Yes, I have a relationship, or no, I don't. If it's an I think, or maybe, or I'm not sure, man, I'd love to talk to you about that. There's a lot of people that would love to talk to you about that. Or maybe we need to refocus. Maybe we need to reevaluate. Hey, what's changed in my life that back then I had this passion, this fire, and now I'm kind of like just going through the motions. Maybe we just need to come and pray. Say, hey, God, stoke those coals. Stoke that fire. Whatever it is, be obedient today what God's calling you to do. Let's pray. Father God, I've done my best to say what you wanted me to say. You know every individual in this building. Perhaps there's one today that would say, I need Jesus. I need this relationship. I don't have peace in my life. If that's you, I would invite you to come forward as we play a song just in a minute and just say, I need Jesus. Maybe it's I need to step out in obedience and be baptized. Baptism isn't a salvation issue, it's an act of obedience. Maybe we haven't followed there. Maybe it's just I need to refocus. Maybe it's I need to take some time and pray for my marriage, for my kids, for my grandkids, for my neighbors. I don't know what it is. God's calling you. What is he calling you to? What is he saying? This is obedience in your life today. Father God, I pray the Holy Spirit would just be free to move among us. God, that you would allow us to have the freedom to respond to you. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ against anything the enemy would try to do to hinder us from walking in faith today. And I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.